The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is cooking. Woo! The best there is. Best
there
was, and the best
ever
will be.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Call Podcast, Joshua Adam William Arthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Well, Joel, it is another busy week in the world of professional wrestling. I actually got to watch 10 minutes of NWA, and I like
What'd
what I
think?
Saw. I like what I saw. It's an older school feeling of it. It's kind of funny. I don't know if I joked to you about this or our friend Adam about it earlier, of the fact that it goes pretty much head-to-head with AEW Dark, which is interesting. But,
The one thing that I think whoever's running this is very smart, because I think even if you're not, you're going to pick up the scraps from NXT, AEW Dark. Or you're going to be the one driving it, and then it works really well, because people then have this hour-long AEW show that they can watch, and then they've got this hour-long NWA show that they can watch. I think it's just really smart how they position this.
I loved the interviews. Did you see it at all, any of the NWA Power?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
I
love the look. I love the set. I'm not totally sold on having Cornette involved in it, because, I mean, he does harken back to old school, but he's a controversial figure. So it'll be interesting to see how that relationship plays out with Cornette and NWA. But it goes to show that YouTube is absolutely a viable route for these guys.
Almost 300,000 in the first episode. I love the interview set. It brought me back to being like a very small child when I was like 5 or 6 and watching Flair cut the promos with the gold on that set. So that I really like. The ring, I think it works really well. How they have the limited crowd. Kind of it gives you that NWA feeling, but I also kind of brought back to WCW Saturday nights as well. As a kid, that it made me kind of nostalgic for those. So I think it's a really good atmosphere and idea to it all. Obviously, like Billy Corgan said, like, this cannot be sustainable forever. They're going to have to find a TV station. But, I mean, maybe if they just keep up the views they have on YouTube, who knows? I really like NWA Power. I mean, Tuesdays, if you kind of think about it, are kind of loaded now in a way. You have NWA Power, you have AEW Dark, and TNA Impact, rather, is also on Tuesday. So if you want to have a wrestling fix on Tuesday, it's there for you.
Yeah, there's more wrestling than ever now. It is becoming where you really have to pick and choose what you want to watch. And I think that's a good thing. And I think especially based on how things ended, and even Monday Night Raw, I don't think it ended very well for them. So it's one of those things where I think that having options to pick and choose means I think we're going to see lower numbers across the board, but I think that's because there's not just one spot for the numbers to go to.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't need to get too much. The numbers came in for AEW this week, and they were a little lower, but, you know, it was simulcast. It was going against a baseball game. So we'll kind of see what happens. NXT also dropped, I think, the baseball game. Had a big part of that. That was a game where the Nationals came roaring back in dramatic fashion to knock out the top-ranked Dodgers. A lot of people were watching it. You're dealing with a major media market in Los Angeles as well, with people watching the Dodgers. So that was taken over, and people interested in the Dodgers as a team that, you know, lost in the World Series last year against the Red Sox. So there's a story there. They went really high in the standings. They're one of the best teams in baseball, and they choke again. So as that game started progressing, I'm sure it took away the ratings for AEW and for NXT. But I thought, just as a show, you know, we had, like I said, the rough 72 hours it turned into even more, because I thought Monday Night Raw was just flat. It had no substance to it whatsoever. The Tyson Fury stuff kind of worked for a little bit for me, and then it dragged way too much. It was just like a cheap imitation of Tyson and Austin. And then AEW came along, Joel, and that first match happened, and it was like the doors opened and rainbows came out.
You know, the thing, I think AEW had another solid show. By no means is it a blow-away show, and I don't think AEW is going to have a blow-away show for a bit. I think they're going to find their footing, build some storylines, which they've been doing. I know everyone before they got to TV was complaining about storylines, but you look at what they were able to do in this one TV taping, these two TV tapings. So they built to Darby and Jericho. They've built the Inner Circle up. They've built up the Young Bucks versus LAX. They've built Cody and Jericho. They've built towards Full Gear with Moxley and Kenny. Pac versus the whole company. Like, there are things that they have done that they have multiple facets of things going. And again, I think the only real comedy bit from Tuesday again was just Orange Cassidy giving a very weak thumbs up and JR not knowing what to make of him. It's there are things that they're going to have to work on and grow and get better at. But I think as a start-off company and their first 2 weeks of TV, I don't think they've done too bad for themselves, to be honest.
I thought they did really... Like, I had... And you got to get... Please excuse my voice a little bit, folks. I'm coming under the weather a little bit here. But I thought the first week... I thought it was a really good show. I thought their cut to commercial and stuff were a little rough. Really cool thing up here in Canada, we got the picture-to-picture, which was really nice to have. But when they did have the non-picture-to-picture commercial breaks, I thought the cuts to commercial really worked well, and they figured it out. So it took a week, figured it out, learned, and moved ahead with it. And I thought that was really important.
Yeah. And I think that's a thing. They're still going to have stumbles. They're still going to fall and falter with stuff. But, I mean, they've delivered on most of all their promises that they've made. There's been no bait and switches. There's been no... change to anything that's been really weird. They've had a lot of clean finishes with all their matches, more or less.
Mm-hmm. You care about the little guys, right? I hate to bring him up, but it's that Vince Russo thing that he brought about in the Attitude Era that I think is the only thing from Vince Russo that I still hold in substance of. When he said, when I wrote the show, I wanted D'Lo Brown to mean almost as much as Stone Cold Steve Austin. And those guys, why I think why the people hold the Attitude Era so high, right? Because a guy like Draws meant just as much to some people. Like, yes, he was a jobber, but you cared about a Draws, you cared about a D'Lo Brown. Like, they could do something. And in today's WWE, for example, you don't feel that about Heath Slater. But, you know, watching this, I'm not a big fan of Jimmy Havoc, but I feel like he matters. When Sonny Kiss eventually comes on TV again, I'm going to feel like he matters. That's the thing that they've done very well is, you know where the pecking order is for certain people, but you know... Everyone matters to the point of why that record is so important. Even with Pac on the commentary, is like, why is Darby Allin getting this title shot all of a sudden when I beat Kenny Omega and I beat Adam Page and I'm 2-0? Just a great point, and that's why those records work so well, and that makes everybody else feel to a certain level. The only person I would say right now I don't feel, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of going all over the place and let you hit on these. Only person I don't feel great on after these 2 weeks is Sean Spears. He kind of feels like he's going back to the jobber level, but I at least do feel with Tully he can still rise above.
Yeah, there could be a story to tell there where it's him finding his footing.
Yeah, and even said that, JR's like, oh, he got more aggressive. Yeah, he got much more aggressive, but everyone matters, which you don't get in WWE. I don't feel like anyone matters. I mean,
and I was just going to say, you listen to that Moxley pop.
Yeah.
And just the way Moxley looked when he came out there, like he had the gear that he had on in New Japan. And it's just like, okay, I know what this guy is. This is a wrestler that's just insane. Then that stare down with the broom and the bat and Kenny throwing that over there. I just thought they've done a very good job at slow builds. You have Kenny's wrestled once on TV and then he's going to wrestle on AEW Dark, which I think is a big deal that you're putting him on AEW Dark. He takes on Joey Janela, which makes sense for a storyline perspective because he's taken on the guy that faced and went toe to toe with Moxley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's little things like that, and that help makes AEW Dark matter, because then as fans you're going to be like, okay, what are the dark matches? What are we waiting to see?
By the way, really nice touch too with the record of Moxley. They made him 0-0-0 because the Janela match was unsanctioned.
Yeah, and I believe that Janela and Kenny are unsanctioned as well.
Yeah, and another nice thing with that too is they do the situation of like whatever match they're going into now, they'll go like, so it's a singles match, they'll be like, what the record is, and then overall record. Another just really nice touch to know, like, okay, this is why this person matters and doesn't matter.
Yeah, this is why you look at it and suddenly Kenny's in a trio match and the guy struggled so much that you're nervous about for him being in that match because he's a guy that hasn't got a lot of wins.
And I mean, eventually when the win and loss records are at a valuable level, you can be like, his record sits at this and this, and his record sits at this and this, or hers and hers. And that'll matter, and that'll give you the MMA boxing type of real sport feel that wrestling lacks, and I think that's super important to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, and I think it just helps. And I love that, because, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why isn't Pac doing it? And it's like, well, Darby beat Shima, and Darby was in this match. He took Cody to a draw. Yeah. So this is where he took Cody to a draw, so that's where he kind of was on a fringe, and then getting that win kind of helped elevate him. So it's making little things that are like, oh, this actually matters. When these guys are in the ring, then this is an actual worthwhile to watch and pay attention to.
Yeah, I think everything they've done has just worked out really well. And I mean, everything that WWE is doing lately just doesn't work very well.
Well, like, this was a message between you and me over the last 2 days, is we're in a state now where you can't mess up. As a company, you cannot fail on a weekly basis, and you can't fail with big shows, because if you do, then you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. If AEW start to struggle, then that gives NXT a chance to prop ahead of it. So you're at this point where now things are going to matter, and you're going to have to fight through bad booking, and you're going to have to really think about the choices you make, and you're going to have to be very conscious about booking and paying attention to who's hot and who's not. And I don't think WWE still pays attention to that.
And I mean,
here's the other point I can make on WWE. So this is a first and foremost a sports entertainment company, correct? It is not a pro wrestling company. All right, would that be a fair assessment of them?
Of what WWE is?
Yeah.
That's what they perceive themselves of, but with what Fox is hoping for them the next little bit, that's not what Fox wants. But as of right now, that's what they perceive themselves as, but not what Fox wants.
So right now, and that's what really matters, is what WWE perceives themselves as. We're going to get to Fox and USA in a moment. But right now, I firmly believe they see themselves as sports entertainment, and they've gotten away from the wrestling business. So then why is your world heavyweight champion on Raw a professional wrestler that's masquerading as a sports entertainer? Because Seth's strong suits is pro wrestling. It's not sports entertainment. He's had good moments, but he's not at the level of entertainment that you had with Rock and Austin. What makes Seth Rollins so good is what he does in that ring. And that to me speaks as a detriment to what this company is. And I think it also speaks to detriment to what NXT's done. And that's a weird statement to say. I think NXT is great, but you're not feeding into what Vince wants and what the company wants as sports entertainers. You're feeding them professional wrestlers. And that you have to kind of make up your mind now. You have to decide if you're going to shift gears and go hybrid style, or if you're going to go just straight wrestling, what you're going to have to do to make sure your guys are having the most success. Aleister Black is a pro wrestler. The Fiend is a sports entertainer. Seth Rollins is a professional wrestler. Brock Lesnar, I would say he's kind of a hybrid. He can do both. But you're at a point where you gotta decide what you're gonna be. And the other facet to that is that also should dictate on who you're gonna start building around. if you're being sports entertainment, start building around the guys that are really sports entertainment heavy. If you're going, as you had said, that Fox wants very sports heavy, then they need to start building around the sports heavy guys. And that athletic Ricochet, Seth Rollins, Aleister Black types.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's going to be interesting. It's so funny, just with, we're going to get to the draft of, I think, how the draft is going to flip this year of SmackDown being more sports entertainment-like, and Raw, I think, is going to become more of the wrestling show. And I don't even know if that's on purpose of what Fox wants. I just think that they're going to take the bigger names, and we'll get to that in a bit. I want to say, too, like, WWE can't help themselves but be petty on situations either. Did you hear what happened with Jay and Silent Bob?
Yeah. They were not. They were removed from Friday Night SmackDown. They were not no longer invited. I mean, it makes sense. You're not going to have a guys appear on both shows, but it's also WWE.
It's petty shit. It's petty.
Because I haven't seen NXT yet because I'm still operating under the actual channel based stream. Yeah. What were your thoughts on NXT this week?
So I think AEW had the better show this week. I thought NXT had the better show week one. I think AEW had the better show this week. I still think it was a great show. We're getting Tommaso Ciampa next week in a match. So that's pretty exciting. Walter Gishida was phenomenal. Walter is just a star, and I'm sure Vince is trying everything he can to get him on top of the main roster.
He's never going to go. From all indication, he just wants to do the Europe stuff and then the occasional U.S. visits.
Yeah. Breezango and the Forgotten Sons was okay. I really like Cameron Grimes. Definitely Dane should be interesting there. Isaiah Scott and Roddy Strawn. Really good fight there. Dakota Kai and Bianca Belair. I didn't really get why they had Dakota lose there. I like her more than Bianca Belair, but they're kind of maybe doing something with Bianca and Baszler and Rhea.
The women's division in NXT has always been categorically a little bit minor. Once you got away from the house, the four horsewomen, the booking for that got a little bit rough.
And it's really good right now. Like, even someone like Tegan Nox, we haven't really seen as much as I'd like to. Tegan Nox just came back. Dakota Kai, I think you and I both think that she's a star. Yeah. And I'm just kind of surprised she just is back now after a terrible injury. And they just bury her to Bianca Belair, who's, you know, had her shot at Baszler. And I don't know why we're going back that route.
Yeah, it's very interesting that they've struggled with that. They have absolutely struggled with that. For all the positives that come with NXT, that's been one of their weaker areas. But that's one of those things where, again, you're going to have spots that you're going to struggle with. I think the women's division in AEW is very thin. But I think as time goes and as new, different talent emerge and see what AEW really is, I think that it only gets stronger. Hopefully, that's the goal.
Well, they have talent there. Like Rhea, like Vanessa Bourne was in Leah's corner. She's really talented. Still nothing really from Chelsea Green and Deanna Purrazzi, who I think are both super talented, especially Chelsea Green. And we've seen, I don't know what's taking the Chelsea Green thing so long. We've seen what she can do in Impact at All In. Like, we know that she's very talented. The wrist injury has to be done by now, you would assume. Like,
I think so. I think she's been doing a house show loop for them.
Like, I'm ready to see her. I feel like in some ways NXT just kind of felt formulaic this week in some ways, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, it just kind of, it felt like right now they know how to do like the normal TV and then get to a takeover where takeovers are great. I don't think they right now know how to make NXT as a television show. And I'm very surprised that AEW knows already how to make a good television show so fast. And I know they have people like Jericho and Dustin Rhodes and Cody there to help with that, and Dean Malenko and, you know, Jerry Lynn. But the fact they're just already so good at making it a weekly wrestling show is very impressive through 2 weeks.
Yes, absolutely.
And like you said, too, like, people know what they are. Jimmy Havoc knows what he is. Darby Allin knows what he is. Jericho knows what he is. I feel even in NXT, it's like, some people are just like, in the, you were kind of saying, like, you know, the thing of like, what's Seth Rollins and what's this and what's this? And NXT, I think everyone, they just know they're good professional wrestlers, but I don't know if I'm seeing much more at anyone other than that right now. In some ways, it still does just feel like the developmental territory at times, to be honest.
And that's the thing that I think, here's the other big question that I got for you. So Monday Night Raw, we both watched it more or less. I watched bits and pieces of it, and you watched bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
Did you ever once see the broadcast crew or graphics on screen promoting NXT on USA?
I sure didn't. I sure did not.
Why are you not
promoting? They don't care. They don't care. I mean, yeah. And according to like the Bill Simmons podcast, like all his indications being around people on SmackDown, it just sounds like they think NXT, their ignorance is that AW rating will slowly decline and it'll be next to, they just think that NXT will stay around the 800,000 and sooner or later AW will fall to there, and then in the long term they'll end up beating AW, so they don't really give a shit.
I think that's a mistake.
Ignorance is very bliss there.
I think that's a mistake. You should be wanting to push it beyond that. You should want to crush AEW. You should want to win and be the definitive winner. You don't want to sit and be like, oh, well, we just kind of sat there for a bit and did our thing, and then that was it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand what they're doing. I think it's very ignorant of them to think that way.
Absolutely. I think it just shows why this company struggles. Why we got the end of Hell in a Cell is the mindset is, oh, well, this is going to keep going, so we're fine. We don't need to worry about this. The ratings will keep going. So people will be mad now, but it won't matter in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, Raw was very boring. There's nothing really to talk about on Raw. I will say that Apollo and the Ricochet match was just like, it shows what Raw is and where WWE is. It's like, this came out and it was like, what? Like, it just kind of felt like you were trapped for like 1,000 years. Like, what is this? What is this mysterious, amazing thing? Can I get 20 minutes of this compared to like how long Lacey Evans and Natty was? I'll take 30 minutes of Ricochet and Apollo Crews. Thank you.
Well, here's the big thing that I take right now, and we're seeing it, is AEW almost is having to train fans on how to watch wrestling again in many ways.
Good call.
Because they're like the clean finish over Bucks and Private Party. Any other wrestling fan, and myself included, is trained to have, well, LAX is going to come out, or something's going to happen where there's going to be like the lights flicker. It's going to be not a clean finish. It's something's going to happen, and it's going to be a squash match, and the Bucks are just going to kill them.
Right.
And none of those things happened.
Sure. Even the promo, we had the one basic promo that happened. I even kind of liked, it was a very simple thing last week, but when they had the camera backstage, like, we're trying to eavesdrop on these, they kind of overthought it, but I liked the kind of idea of it. Like, oh, we're eavesdropping on them right now. And they kind of at least acknowledged the camera was there.
Yeah.
Which was like an interesting choice. I mean, I think they're still going to have to think about if they ever do that camera again, how they're going to work it. But I thought it was a nice use. And I thought BTE, if that's the way they're going to use BTE, I thought it was just used so brilliantly. I thought BTE was used greatly. It made me excited for what happened last week on Dynamite. It filled in questions for me, and it made me more excited for the episode to come, which is what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is what you want. You want to do is you want to build excitement. There's a lot of hype for AEW Dark, so I'm interested to see what those numbers are. There's a lot of goodwill going, and I think NXT is going to get to a good point, because there's no way that the only way NXT dies is if Vince gets more involved. That's the only way, because I think they still have too many smart guys there to make creative decisions.
Absolutely. So I think there's some good stuff to come. Let's go ahead and let's talk about the WWE draft, shall we?
So now, I don't know the rules. So
I what, do. I do.
In God's name are these rules.
So Fox wanted it to be a legitimate draft. So it's going to be a legitimate draft, which I'm happy about. You know me, I'm a sucker for a good draft. So there is two pools, and I'll tell you the participants in two pools. So here are the rules. 30 superstars will be eligible for the draft tomorrow night, while 41 will be eligible on Monday. Since SmackDown is only 2 hour and Monday is 3 hour, for every two SmackDown picks, Raw will get three. So that kind of goes back to the original draft that we had when they moved it to USA onto Tuesdays. Tag teams will count as one picks unless someone specifically asked to, you know, go. So if that someone from the if SmackDown was like, we want Big E, then they can have Big E, and then maybe it's just Kofi and Woods, or, you know, one of the, they get separated, right? And then any undrafted superstars will immediately be declared free agents and able to choose the brand they sign with. So I think that leaves the ability for some to go to NXT.
Can I give my take on it?
Yeah, go ahead before I get into the
Here's my two cents on this. Is this sounds great in principle, and this could be great. Like, this could absolutely be a fantastic thing that adds some legitimacy. My question is, does WWE have to have final say on those picks?
I have no idea.
I can imagine they have plans for how they want things to go. So is this where they do this in a back room on the weekend, where they sit with Vince, Stephanie, whoever, and go, okay, so this is who I want. Well, this is who I want. This is who, these are the guys that I want. I want to break this tag team up. And does WWE go, okay, yes, no, we don't want to do that just yet. We've got plans here. Because it's great, but how much creative control are you really willing to give to USA and Fox?
Well, Fox apparently has more than USA, from what I've been told. And Fox really wants to make this like a legitimate sports draft. So if that's the case, I'm interested to see, like, do they have actual Fox broadcasters that are more breaking down the attributes as athletes for these guys? I mean, it's very confusing with the first match. In some ways, you know, being Roman and Seth, but I get it. The old guard, Seth projected Monday Night Raw, and Roman had SmackDown. And it's weird, though, because if Raw has the first pick and Roman wins for SmackDown, Roman could go to Raw. I don't know who has the first. I guess whoever wins that gets the first pick, right?
Yeah. Well, this brings up another point that I brought up on the podcast.
Yeah.
So this is all legitimate sport, but is this what WWE wants? Is a legitimate sport, or do they want sports entertainment?
I think you have to make up your mind. It's a divide, right? I think the Triple H, William Regal, Jeremy Borash side of things wants it, right? Then the Michael Hayes, Bucky, Vince side of it wants sports entertainment. They want Bobby Lashley and Lana. They want that shit. They want Chad Gable, Olympian being called Shorty J. But Triple H and them, they see what AEW is doing. He knows what AEW is. He may shrug it off to Bill Simmons or whoever else he's talking to, but he knows what that is. And he knows what he wants professional wrestling to be, because we've seen him do that with NXT. We know what he wants. He doesn't want Chad Gable to be called Shorty G. As good as Sammy's been with Nakamura, he doesn't want that either. He wants Nakamura to be himself. So it'll be very interesting. I hope that they have an actual draft analyst there. They do not want authority figures. Both Fox, especially, and USA have been very clear they do not want authority figures. And WWE said that they are done with the authority figure. I believe that when I see it.
My take on all this is a problem. This is a problem that the company is going to have to figure out sooner rather than later. Or it will, and I believe it will impact the product, is you're now telling your audience that one side is going to be this way and one side's going to be this way. And it just feels like the company's in a struggle to figure out what they are. And I mean, if in an ideal world, you could get to one show sports entertainment, one's wrestling, but you're going to be having your fans pick and choose which show they want to watch. You're not going to have them be like, I want to watch both of these, because that's what I want. Some fans are going to be like, well, I want to watch the wrestling show. I don't want to watch the show that's about Lana and Bobby Lashley. So I just think that's a problem going forward. It's a neat idea, and I like it. But I just think that there's going to be problems while they try to work this out.
I can speak for myself. In the last draft, I gravitated to SmackDown. I've been very clear about that I hated the wildcard rule because I really did like SmackDown as a show. I felt like it was the more wrestling-forward show. I'm fine with sports entertainment. I mean, look, The Fiend is one of the best parts of wrestling right now, and he's a sports entertainment character. There's nothing wrong with having sports entertainment in there. It's just how it's done, and I don't really give a shit about this Bobby I mean, I can't say too much because I'm the same guy that kind of liked the Maria stuff, so I'm not totally eligible to talk about it because I'm weird with that kind of stuff that I like, but I don't mind some of it, but I prefer more Ricochet and Apollo Crews matches than Lana Bobby Lashley stuff.
Yeah, but that's the thing that is going to take some time to figure out. And that's a thing where you can do both. You can have both. It's now just a matter of figuring out how you do it.
Yeah.
And how you do it properly. So what do you think is going to cut? Well, we don't know who the first pick is, but...
Well, so here's who is eligible for the SmackDown pool. And then we'll talk about the Raw pool, and then we'll get out of here. So these women and men are the only ones eligible for tomorrow night on SmackDown. And there'll be another pool on Raw. So these are the only people that are eligible to be picked by Raw and SmackDown tomorrow. So you have Becky Lynch, Roman Reigns, the OC. Remember, you can take them individually. If someone wants to just have AJ Styles, they can just have AJ Styles.
So they're a trio?
They are right. They can be drafted as a trio, but if you say I just want AJ Styles, you can just have AJ Styles if you would like to. The Fiend, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Sasha Banks, Ricochet, Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, Bliss, and Nikki Cross are put together as a team. Again, if you want them separately, you're allowed to. Lacey Evans, the Viking Raiders, the SmackDown Tag Champions, Natty, Street Profits, Lucha House Party. Again, there's three of them. You can take them as a pair or separate. Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Humberto Calero, Akira Tozawa, Sin Cara, Eric Young, EC3, Chad Gable, Heath Slater, Drew Gulak, The B Team, and Tamina. These are who is eligible tomorrow.
Okay. So a mixture. That's not terrible. I agree with you. I think. Well, I mean, I get why they did this because they want to save big names for both shows.
Yeah, so, I mean, both, they're trying to do the best to appease both USA and Fox. I guess are we assuming Roman wins or Seth wins?
Roman probably wins, let's be honest. Although
Seth needs to win more.
Yeah, but I can see Roman winning.
So Roman wins for SmackDown, and then Roman goes first?
Yeah, that makes most sense.
And then Raw keeps Becky? It's really hard to think that Raw is going to keep Becky with how much SmackDown has used her.
This is where sometimes having that creative control and Fox having more creative control, it's going to create some challenges. It's going to create some challenges, and you're basically having two divorced parents that you're going to have to appease.
Yeah. There will be no NXT picks, by the way. There's no surprises. This is the pool that you're coming from. So I guess the pick, so it'll go SmackDown, then Raw, then SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
So we're assuming that Roman goes first, and then we're going to guess what? That Raw goes what? Becky and then Randy Orton?
Yeah. It's going to be tough. This is something new, and this is going to be definitely something interesting for them to have to sort through. I mean... Hopefully they can get this going, get this done properly. I'm interested to see. I'm really interested to see how this goes and if there's some behind-the-scenes drama that comes from some of these picks.
And by the way, so Raw is Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, Charlotte Flair, Titus O'Neil, Shinsuke Nakamura, Aleister Black, The New Day, Daniel Bryan, Bayley, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, The Miz, Ali, Corbin, Elias, Ziggler and Rude, Samoa Joe, The Kabuki Warriors, Rusev, Cedric, Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, Carmelo, AOP, Heavy Machinery, Apollo Crews, Andrade, Liv Morgan, Jinder Mahal, Buddy Murphy, Mojo, No Way Jose, Dana Brooke, Shelton Benjamin, Hawkins and Ryder, The Iconics, Sarah Logan, Fire and Desire, and Drake Maverick.
This is going to be interesting. This is really going to be interesting. And I wonder if teams that get divided that don't want to be divvied up get...
I think the New Day is getting separated.
I think so as well. It'll be weird not having the New Day around.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. And apparently Nakamura and Sammy are a pair as far as drafting goes as well.
Really?
Yeah. So that's a pair. I think a few things will get broken up. I think potentially Fire and Desire could get broken up. I think that the New Day could get broken up. I don't think the OC will get broken up. Do you?
I think that would be a dumb play.
I could see Lucha House Party being divvied up, though. Someone going for Kalisto, some maybe going for Grand Metalik. Maybe even the B team. Maybe someone says that they want Curtis Axel.
Yeah, this is going to show you what who USA and Fox value.
Yeah, I think we all know the first... I mean, it's so funny when we did this last time for the draft. I actually do think that the Raw draft is stronger, by the way, don't you?
Yeah, I think they got more that they can play with, and there's more stories that they can tell.
Well, they have Seth, Brock, Charlotte, Nakamura, Aleister Black, New Day, Daniel Bryan, Bayley, Harper Rowan, Miz, Joe, Corbin. Like, it doesn't get low, like, really, really that fast at all. So, and then for this, like, when you get kind of to the next secondary stars in here, I guess SmackDown's a decent, I guess. I mean, it's after kind of Bliss and Nikki, then you get to, like, Lacey and the Viking Raiders and stuff.
Yeah, I'm very interested how they filled the 2 hours and the 3 hours.
Excuse me. I don't know what's going to happen with the women's titles, but I'm expecting the SmackDown titles to just stay on SmackDown, I would assume.
Are people going to be stripped of titles? Is that how this is going to work?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it would be weird, you know, if Becky goes to SmackDown with the Raw title and then Charlotte goes with the SmackDown title. I don't know what you do then with that. Do you make them switch titles?
Maybe. Or maybe you just call them different names. I don't know.
They may call them different names. Yeah, so that's an interesting thing in all of this. The two things I can tell you for sure is that Roman and Bray Wyatt will be on SmackDown by the end of the night.
I've heard Heyman really wants Bray.
So this is the fight between Fox and USA for him, hey? Let's really quickly theorize each side's first five picks, and then we'll get out of here. So we're saying Roman Reigns for SmackDown, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're saying Becky Lynch for Raw.
Yeah.
Okay. Then who else? Then who's Raw taking next? Randy, we think?
Seth.
You can't take Seth. He's not in this pool. So, like, the pool that you're looking at around here is, at that point, the OC, The Fiend, Drew, Randy, Sasha, Ricochet, Strowman, Bobby, Lashley.
I could see Bobby getting drafted higher.
Back to Raw?
Yeah.
So ahead of AJ, you think, though?
I don't know. This is going to be tricky because I don't know. I'm not sure how these executives are going to
think. I think it's Randy because I think Randy's the next guy for Seth.
Yeah.
So I think they go Randy, and then I think SmackDown takes Sasha. And then I guess it goes back to Raw after that. And then I can see Raw taking the OC. And probably Strowman. And then maybe
Strowman will be higher.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it depends. I guess maybe SmackDown wants Strowman just because of the Tyson Fury stuff. They want him on SmackDown.
Yeah, because that's where it originated. So that would make the most sense.
Yeah. I mean, someone like Ricochet, it's funny because I just think of SmackDown and there's just a certain thought I have about what SmackDown is. But I'm just kind of assuming that he's going to go back to Raw, to be honest. And in a way, you're kind of rooting that he goes to Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be interesting. The draft takes place tomorrow night. And then, obviously, I mean, I think it's a saving grace. If Raw didn't have the draft, I would not be interested in watching it. But since they have the draft, I'm interested. And I think it's a big deal how SmackDown handles this and how WWE handles this. It's a big step forward because I didn't think they lived up to the hype last week. So they're getting me back next week as an audience, how they live up to the hype next week. And we'll see if they blow it or not. But I think that's about it for us. Hey, Joel?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. Look forward to the rest of the week in professional wrestling, and we'll be here. Oh, and make sure on We Talk Wrestling, they're going to the archives, and they're loading everything back up. Yeah.
So we forgot to mention two things.
Sure.
So first thing is first, Chris Jericho crashed Pro Wrestling Tees with mention of Inner Circle.
Oh, that shirt is so ugly.
But it's selling, so I don't think they
sell. For sure.
And the other one is they're going to have celebrities on both Raw and SmackDown for both networks.
We need Harvey. Give me Harvey. Give me Harvey. How awesome would that be?
That would be a very interesting moment.
Where is Raw? I'd like to know. Is it in Texas? Because he's from there.
I'm curious if you... Well, because he owns a part in Impact, so I don't know if he's going to want...
Does he?
Yeah, because Steve Harvey. You're talking about Steve Harvey,
no,
right?
No. Harvey from Suits.
Oh, no.
I don't know the actor's name.
I know they have a Dual Hill from Psych and Suits.
Hmm. Yeah, they can get some guys from Psych in there, too, because they've had people from Psych on there.
Before, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And they have both main characters from there, James Rhode and Dual Hill.
And then maybe Homer and Peter Griffin can maybe make picks for SmackDown, potentially. That'd be ideal.
Maybe could Homer Simpson still make? No, because Fox doesn't own that anymore.
This is true. But he's still on the networks. Maybe they can do something with that. Oh, I mean, I'd assume it's going to be like a Michael Strahan or something will be there to be a pick.
Yeah.
For Fox, it'll be something like that that they'll have, or some of their college football guys, like Rob Stone, will definitely do a pick tomorrow, who's a former 24-hour champion. So something like that, or like just a Fox show they're looking to promote, and same with what USA is doing. I mean, I think at one point the idea was to have executives from Fox and USA do the picks, but they decided that wasn't a good idea. So
yeah,
I guess the biggest surprise is who are the celebrities tomorrow making these picks.
I think there may have been a list, but I saw a list floating around of a list of celebrities from the Observer.
Okay, I Michael Strahan was on that though, right?
Well, we're about to find out.
Skip Bayless, please have Skip Bayless.
You know, I do wonder how this translates to the wrestling audience with having these celebrities on here. How many people want celebrity in their wrestling? But
Colin Coward would be amazing just for someone that called wrestling fans booger eaters all these years, and now he's on there making a pick in a fake draft. So
here's the list. So we've got Alex Rodriguez.
Okay, that's a big deal. That's a good
Michael
guess.
Shea and Colin Jost of SNL.
Oh, okay. That's
Christian NBC Slater News. From Mr. Robot.
By the way, so the reason that those guys from SNL work is because it's NBC Universal. NBC Universal owns USA.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Christian Slater for Mr. Robot.
Okay.
Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
Oh, fuck.
Jim Cramer from Mad Money.
Jim Cramer. Wow, that guy?
Yeah. Kevin Burkhart and Frank Thomas. They're Fox MLB analysts.
Yeah, Frank Thomas is the big hurt. One of the better baseball players of all time.
Terry Bradshaw, nice. Howie Long, Jimmy Johnson, and Tony Gonzalez.
Wow.
Rhonda Baber, Charles Davis, Chris Spielman, and Daryl Johnson of Fox NFL Analytics.
They're just getting a lot of Fox people then for Fox NFL then, hey?
Carissa Thompson, Michael Vick, and Peter Schrager. Rob Stone, Brady Quinn, Reggie Bush, Matt Leonard.
Matt Leonard.
Matt Leinart, and then
Leinart. It's been a while. Yeah, he's been for USC.
Joel Klatt.
It's all their NFL and their college football guys, because this is kind of the sports lineup they've been setting now, because they have the NFL, the Thursday night game, then they have SmackDown, then they have college football, and then they have football on Sundays. So this is kind of their new sports powerhouse they have, and they're hitting that with all the NFL guys coming here for the picks then.
They've got Dual Hill and James Rode, both from Psych, and yes. Dual Hill is from Suits. Marcus
and Ballers.
Yes. Marcus Lemnis of The Prophet. Margaret Joseph and Melissa Gorgia of The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
No one from Suits at all?
No. Oh, just Hill.
What if Lewis made a pick? That'd be great.
Rode Harrison and Chris Sims, and then Rebecca Lowe, Robbie Musto, and Kyle Martino from the Premier League Live.
Yeah, so they're going hard with all their actual like sports guys and gals. Yeah, so there's that, and CM Punk stuff is off for Wrestling Tees, so we'll see what happens with that without getting too much into that. And yeah, before we sign off, We Talk Podcast, really cool. All the archives are coming up. They're in 2011 right now, and a lot of happy memories, a lot of laughable memories, and a lot of sad memories. They had a picture of Bischoff and Hogan back in TNA that made me laugh, and the one they just posted when we were doing this pod was unfortunately the passing of Randy Savage, which I'm, weirdly looking forward to, because I didn't ever get to hear really Mo's thoughts on that day. So I'm looking forward to, going to him. That, and another sad note, the other day was Eddie Guerrero's 51. It would have been Eddie Guerrero's 51st birthday. So viva la raza. Eddie, you're always in our hearts. Anything to add, Joel?
Chris Jericho got an Eddie pop.
Yeah, he did. Rightfully so. All right. Everyone enjoy the draft and the rest of the week in professional wrestling. And we will be back here on the One Fall podcast very soon. Until then, cheers.
Draft time?
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye! And good night, Ben!